Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We regret to inform you that there's nothing new to watch this weekend.
That was a lie, actually.
Busted!
Enjoy the show, won't you, Dan?
I'm Jared Hall from Entertainment Weekly, and here's what to watch this weekend, Friday, April 5th to Sunday, April 7th. We have coverage of the latest news, plus reviews, interviews, and more at EW.com. But right now, let's get to our top picks of the weekend.
Number five.
Stars sure loves to bring us sexy historical series, and another one is now here with Mary and George, a 7-episode deep dive into the life of George Villiers, the Duke of Buckingham, love and favorite of King James I. The show stars Nicholas Galitzine as George and Oscar winner Julianne Moore as his shrewd mother Mary, who is constantly manipulating those around her in her efforts to elevate George and her family to power. George marks the latest royal role for Galitzine, who broke out in last summer's Red, White, and Royal Blue as Prince Henry. He tells us about his penchant for regal characters.
I think the thing that I find really interesting is people existing within the public eye and, having to, hide a lot of who they are. I think, look, you know, there is a huge amount that differs between Prince Henry and George. I think one is a man who was born into circumstance, and the other one is a man who forged his own path, you know, with the help of his mother. And so I kind of regard that their situations really is as, you know, superfluous to one another. But getting to wear these wonderful costumes and work in these stately homes is also a joy as well.
Well, the series tracks George from his days as a young man through to his courtly education in France, his introduction to King James, and his visual ascension to power as the Duke of Buckingham. Galitzine teases George's arc.
He's so naive and so at the mercy of his mother's whims in a way when we first meet him. And, you know, as he kind of starts to realize his power in this world that he lives in, it is that kind of like grumpy teenager thing where he tries to sort of rebel against it. And then, you know, the more and more wealth he accrues, and certainly, you know, as his relationship with Sir Francis Bacon grows, he's given the confidence to divorce himself from this relationship with his mother. And I think that was just really fun to play, you know, the dynamic with Julie and, you know, her feeling sort of maternal in the beginning, albeit maybe not a great mother, but then those moments of conflict towards the end were so fun to play, and as soon as I got the wig on as well, I felt a level of power, and I so loved getting to play a George who's very confident in himself, maybe misplaced confidence at times, but nevertheless confident.
Mary and George premieres Friday at 9 p.m. on Stars. You don't want to miss it. A David and Goliath tale that captivated UK viewers earlier this year, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, tells the true story of one man who refused to take the fall for a crime he didn't commit. Toby Jones stars as Alan Bates, a post office branch manager in Wales, who is wrongfully accused of stealing money from his shop. But he knows the losses are not his fault, as we hear in this bit from the trailer.
The computer system post office spent an arm and a leg on is faulty.
No one else has ever reported any problems with Horizon. No one.
In fact, hundreds of other postmasters across the UK were also being wrongfully prosecuted for theft, and the four-part PBS masterpiece series dramatizes Bates' uphill fight to get justice for them all.
All our hopes, all our savings down the pan.
That was a lie, actually.
We are fighting a war against an enemy owned by the British government. There's millions of people out there who've never heard of us. We can't stop now.
This is about the reputation of the post office.
It's not. It's about people's lives, you moron.
Mr. Bates versus the Post Office caused such an uproar when it aired in the UK, it prompted Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to propose legislation exonerating all falsely accused postmasters. Who says TV can't change the world? Mr. Bates versus the Post Office premieres Sunday on PBS. Be sure to check your local listings for times.
Number three.
Kristen Wiig is returning to Studio 8H. Currently starring on the Apple TV Plus comedy Palm Royale, Wiig is returning to her old stomping grounds to host this weekend's episode of Saturday Night Live. She'll be joined by musical guest Ray, and it's probably a safe bet that she'll also be joined by some famous SNL faces, as this is Wiig's fifth time hosting, marking her official introduction into the legendary SNL Five Timers Club. Now, personally, we are hoping for the return of some of Wiig's classic characters, including Gilly, Penelope, hopefully even the Target Lady. And one of her great roles, here's hoping he's also available for an appearance, was the unprepared singing duo she played with Fred Armisen. Here they are, appearing on Weekend Update, which at the time was hosted by Seth Meyers. Have a listen.
Debuting their own holiday songs is one of my favorite musical duos, Garth and Kat.
Let's sing a song about the Christmas stockings and the
trees.
Are you guys not ready? Or?
Oh, no, we're
no,
ready.
We're ready. We got songs ready. Ready to go.
We are ready to go.
Okay, good. Well, I am really excited about these songs. I hear you guys have been working on them for months.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, practicing, yeah, rehearsing.
Very prepared.
Okay.
For this.
Well, that is great. Let's hear it.
Oh, there were 47 reindeers running up and down the mountain. There were 50 little reindeers running up and down the mountain. Oh, I forgot my hat. What else the reason from?
Sorry to interrupt you guys. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt.
No, that was the end.
That was the end. When I talked, was the end of
yes.
the song.
Yeah,
that you was perfectly
it.
Timed it.
It was the end of the song. The middle yes. of the yeah. sentence was the yeah. end of the song.
Yeah.
I could watch and laugh at that all day. Well, you can find out which Wiig characters make a return this Saturday night live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Pacific on NBC, or you can stream it Sunday on Peacock.
Trivia.
It's trivia time. Kristen Wiig is certainly known for the wild variety of characters and impressions she has performed on SNL, but she has also voiced a lot of characters in animated shows and movies, including Lola Bunny on The Looney Tunes Show. But which wacky character has she not voiced? A pudgy beaver, a hot dog bun named Brenda, or a villainous alien from Pluto? Stick around for the answer, as well as our top pick of the weekend and a recommendation from a member of the EW staff. What to Watch will be right back. Welcome back to EW's What to Watch.
Number two.
In addition to our daily picks for new shows and movies airing today or this weekend, EW staff members are also joining me to make their own recommendations for things both classic and current that they think you should be checking out. And joining me now with her pick is EW Associate Video Producer Morgan Sanguidolce. Hey, Morgan, how are you?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Great, thanks. So glad you were here and to talk about this particular series. So without further ado, please go ahead and let folks know your recommendation and a little bit about it.
So my recommendation is Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. It's a docuseries that explores and uncovers the toxic work culture of children's television when Dan Schneider was at the helm of Nickelodeon.
Yeah, so this thing obviously has been making so many headlines, lots of revelations out of this Drake Bell kind of shocking people to an extent with some of the things that he has come forward and is talking about, things that have kind of haunted him and impacted him for many years. And now we're seeing a lot of other former child stars who are, they're like, wow, looking back, like there were some weird things that happened on our set as well. Can you talk a bit about like the bigger, broader impact that you're seeing this have, that we're all seeing this have?
Yeah. So the documentary really focuses on the child actors and behind the scenes stories of Nickelodeon Studios in the 90s and 2000s. And those happen to be the exact years that I was watching Nickelodeon. These child actors and the shows that they worked on are exactly what I grew up with. So the subject matter actually felt very personal to me.
Yeah.
One of the shows included in the docuseries is iCarly. And that really struck a chord with me. iCarly played a huge role in my interest in filmmaking as a child. And I would even credit it to being a huge reason why I have the job that I have today. And to find out that not one but three child predators were employed at Nick and working closely with those children, with those actors that I looked up to on a daily basis, really makes you question how on earth our institutions failed to protect those people. And, you know, there were parents on those sets,
yeah,
countless adults tasked with creating a safe environment for child actors to work. And yet many of those children were victims to predatory behavior and even assault. And you have to question who is accountable and how did that affect those child actors? How does that affect those child actors who are all adults today? Many of them are very close to my age currently. And so it feels very much like this is not only something revelatory for the insular culture of that group, mm-hmm, of that industry, but very much of my generation as a whole.
Yeah. And, you know, there are even some former child stars. We have seen them in recent years, either speaking out about conditions on set for child actors, not necessarily sharing these types of stories, or some of them, you know, work closely with. And now you understand why, because there are certain things that they experienced and they're like, I'm not going to let that happen to others. And I think it's going to bring about certainly a big change, lots of eyes focused on what is happening on some of these sets. I'd love to hope and think that things aren't what they used to be, and that recent years, that notion of see something, say something, it has really been enacted and taken seriously. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that story. I totally understand why you got hooked, because, right, I mean, we feel such a connection to these people who we grew up with watching on our screens. Totally. Is there anything that you can say from what's already aired, anything in particular that like really stands out as a kind of like mind blown OMG moment?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, at this point, most viewers are talking about Drake Bell and Jeanette McCurdy. Drake's story. I mean, Drake's story, you really just have to hear from him. There's no way to adequately summarize it here. And McCurdy's 2022 memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Died, was mentioned in the docuseries. Mm-hmm. And I think that the producers really served well to expand on her story and put some faces to names. And I was really interested, though. I was really interested, though, in seeing the growth of Amanda Bynes' career and how she was discovered and really quickly rose to fame. She was a female comedian, a child comedian, but a female comedian nonetheless, with her own show, The Amanda Show, at a time when no other adult female comic is really getting her own show.
Right.
And Amanda, I think, you know, she really channeled Carol Burnett in a way, in her physical comedy and her sense of comedic timing. I mean, she was really, really talented at such a young age.
Yeah.
But the producers, and especially Dan Schneider, constantly made her the butt of inappropriate jokes that were not for her audience. They were not jokes aimed at me, but his audience. Mm-hmm. You know, Dan wrote a segment of the Amanda Bynes show where he and Amanda are together in a hot tub and she's in a bikini and he's fully clothed. And Amanda's 13 in those scenes. And he's writing for her to introduce him as the executive producer and ask for a raise just for him to say no and laugh. And I guess the joke is about how he's in control of her. And so we all saw how Amanda grew up dealing with so many problems very much in the public eye. And seeing all of that laid out in retrospect, it's really sad because she could have been such, I mean, she was a huge star. She still very much is. I mean, look at the kind of film roles she has. What a Girl Wants was like one of my favorite movies growing up. It was so influential. Easy A was like such an iconic role for her. But she didn't get nearly as big as she could have. She didn't get nearly as big as she could have. And it's heartbreaking, but enlightening and really important to acknowledge and talk about. So, you know, that kind of toxic environment is never tolerated again, as you said.
Yeah. A lot of negative impact on her life and career. Certainly, a lot of that stuff had. Well, and listen, the story is actually not over. You can watch all episodes of this docuseries. It's available to stream on Max, but there is an all new episode airing this Sunday at 8 o'clock on ID. It'll also be available to stream on Max. Specifically, this one is titled Quiet on Set, Breaking the Silence. So there's going to be a lot more in depth with the folks who are speaking out now. And I feel like this is really, this might be a new Me Too movement. This is a new kind of cultural and Hollywood revolution where things need to be examined and addressed and some rights to be made for some of these wrongs. So I highly encourage folks to check this out. And I'm so glad that this was your recommendation, Morgan.
Thanks. Yeah, I really hope so too. And I hope people find it as enlightening and really informative and just really cathartic as I did.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, thanks again.
Thanks.
Dev Patel is stepping behind the camera. The actor may be best known for starring roles in films such as Slumdog Millionaire, Lion, and The Green Knight, but now he's an official triple threat, writing, directing, and starring in his new action thriller, Monkey Man. Patel shows off his martial arts skills and, gotta say, kicks some serious ass, starring as a young man who exacts vengeance against the powerful leaders who orchestrated his mother's murder. Have a listen to a bit of the trailer.
Close your eyes, and you will find yourself.
When I was a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army. They brought fire and terror to the land. Until they faced the protector of the people, the white monkey.
There you are. You are a beast.
In this city, the rich don't see us as people.
Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it.
Anyone who forgets their place, it doesn't turn out well for them.
This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff.
This one, it's intense, and it includes some truly wild fight scenes. You don't want to miss it, and you don't have to take my word for it. Jordan Peele got so excited about the movie at an early stage of production that he came on board as a producer to help see it through. Monkey Man is in theaters now, and be sure to check out EW.com for our full coverage of the film. Trivia. And finally this weekend, the answer to our trivia question. Which of these three odd characters has Kristen Wiig never voiced? A pudgy beaver, a hot dog bun named Brenda, or a mean alien from Pluto? Well, Wiig voiced one of the pudgy beavers, that's their actual name, in Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs. She also played a slightly randy hot dog bun in Seth Rogen's Sausage Party, but we just made up that Pluto thing. And that is it for this week's special edition of What to Watch. But you can continue to check out our daily recommendations at EW.com. I'm executive editor Jared Hall. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at EW and at Jared Hall. Thanks so much for listening and have a great weekend. This episode of What to Watch was written by Dustin Nelson, Kristen Baldwin, Devin Kogan, and Maureen Lee Linker. Edited by Sammy Junio and hosted and produced by Jared Hall.
What to Watch.